Good evening, and welcome to Civil Politics here on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP 103.3 FM out of Northampton, Massachusetts. I'm Michael Dow, doing the show once again. My pronouns, by the way, are he and him and his and stuff like that. Masculine first person singular or third person singular. And I'm doing the show with my good friends Sue and Jonra.
Hey there.
Yeah. Yeah, I started including the pronouns thing because I heard people doing it on a podcast I heard recently, and I thought, oh, that's actually not a bad idea.
I was wondering.
Yeah. The podcast.
I was like, that's random.
Well, it's a podcast called Well, Now There's Your Problem, and it's about engineering screw-ups and disasters and whatnot, and they're pretty loose, but like I think two of the hosts are trans, so like they're like, we should be sure we get this whole gender thing clear. And I'm like, all right, yeah, that's
okay.
I got no problem with that, you know. And, you know, certainly it'd be handy when
I'd rather that you didn't make our like shove politics down our throat. But, you know, whatever. It's fine.
Jeez. What would you rather I shove down your throat?
Oh my God. I should have.
You should have.
You did.
You
oh my
did.
God.
You stuck a sign on your back that said "kick me," and I did. It did.
Oh.
Well, I think it's important to specify the pronouns because when people email contact@civilpoliticsradio.com to let us know what they think of the show, it'd be good if they say that Mike Dow. I think he's an idiot. You know. I mean, they could say, I think they're an idiot, and that would be okay, too. But actually, I wouldn't even mind if they said, I think she's an idiot. It just wouldn't be an accurate
description
of
me. We would know who it was.
Yeah. What?
Maybe. Maybe not.
Yeah, I got
you
back. Got you back.
Well, I took a lot of Latin, and so even the table has gender.
Right.
Yeah. In Latin. Yes.
Yeah.
French, too. I think French has a lot of...
Oui, français aussi. In fact, Latin has first declension is feminine, second declension is masculine, third declension is neuter, and French doesn't really have an equivalent to that third declension. So,
I wasn't
in fact, they don't use declensions at all. It's part of what.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking the declensions. I was thinking of just plain old nouns.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, like
in Latin,
you know, tabula is in first declension, which is the feminine declension.
Well, that's a sentence.
Right, no, but I mean, you use the word tabula, etc. Yes? Wrong
if we're
kind
gonna,
of...
If we're going to nerd out, then we're going to do Star Wars.
Oh, no,
today.
Oh, no, okay.
Wrong kind of
nerd withdrawn, out. Question
I
withdrawn. I told you, well...
We're going to be thematically nerdy.
I was going to tell you about Star Trek, but not on the air. We already talked about it.
Res ipsa loquitur, folks.
Semper ubi sub ubi.
Yes, quite so.
Gluteus maximus sequi. Horses behind.
Oh my God!
For the uninitiated. Oh well.
Yeah, there's.
I thought you didn't take Latin.
I did for 2 years when I was in junior high, 7th and 8th grade, with
cool.
Mr. Burns, who, was a terrifying. No, not the evil industrialist from the. From The Simpsons, a terrifying figure in a different way. He was definitely leaning into the stereotype of the Latin teacher because he would like slam the desk and you know and he wouldn't actually hit anybody, but he would definitely like sort of you know do little things to sort of startle us.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
You know, so
but guess not such a dead language after all.
Indeed. Well, I think back on him with fondness. You know, he was trying really hard.
Did you ever go to the Latin games, like, in the state?
Where
you had to, like, pull chariots and do stuff?
Nah.
Wear togas? Good you missed it.
No. Anyway. Yeah.
Speaking of protesting.
Yeah. So... Well,
he was protesting his teacher, basically.
I appreciate him in retrospect, but at the time, you know, Mr. Burns, he was kind of notorious. Anyway, I hope that this was 40 years ago. He may well have shuffled off this mortal coil, but Mr. Burns, if you're still out there, I still remember you fondly. I still remember at least one or two things you taught me, and I hope you're thriving. So, probably should have said that in Latin, but I can't remember how. Anyway.
Failed.
Well, you know, I didn't say I was a good student. Yeah.
Protesting.
Yes. So the protests have gotten even more out there, I suppose, is a way to put it. I don't know. They're continuing. They're spread to a number of campuses, and the dividing lines, the responses and measures taken, especially by the authorities, are growing ever more severe. I have a...
Schools are handling it differently. Some of them are doing a good job.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Some are struggling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Somebody, Brown and Wesley...
Wesleyan, I
Wesleyan.
Ohio Wesleyan, no wonder.
No, not Ohio Wesleyan.
Oh. Connecticut.
Oh, because Ohio the people Wesleyan that drive is bad. Actually Ohio Wesleyan.
Yeah, Wesleyan in Connecticut and Brown have not put... You know, snipers on the roof and everything, which is heartening.
A gunshot went off somewhere, and they suspended the policeman that fired his gun.
At Columbia, I think.
Was it Columbia?
Yeah.
Nobody was hit, and he was in a room, cleaning a room or something.
I mean, on the one hand, a snide comment about the poor marksmanship of the NYPD seems perhaps appropriate, since historically they have proven to be pretty bad shots. Even as they murdered lots of people because they just throw hails of bullets at things. But
well, look at Boston with the Boston bomber. A lot of the fire was they were shooting towards each other, policemen around the boat.
Yeah, 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 because they're just so excited to be able to fire off their guns.
Other schools that have not put snipers on the roof. Brown, Northwestern, Rutgers, and Wesleyan.
Rutgers in New Jersey, Northwestern in Wisconsin, I think.
Northwestern's in... Illinois.
Oh, Northeastern.
Oh,
Northeastern's here in Massachusetts.
Northwestern's in the Midwest somewhere.
Yeah, it's in Illinois.
Illinois?
Yeah. It's around Chicago.
Yeah.
I thought it was.
It used to be the northwest of the U.S. Yeah. Before we, you know, assimilated more of the
so
country.
So they're clinging to their heritage, obviously.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I just, there was a good editorial by a woman named Natalie Shuttler. I think it's pronounced Shuttler. Shutler. She writes for Slate Magazine, and it caught my eye in part because I'm not sure when she graduated, but she went to Kenyon College just as I did. She actually references Kenyon at one point in the piece, and they used to have this thing called Spring Riot on campus way back when I was a student there, and basically just like
it's called Grow Up.
Yeah, that's it.
Got it.
America needs to grow up, and I just wanted to read a few bits because I thought they were apt. Students are supposed to be volatile and passionate. They're the new members of our society who shake the comfortable cages adults inhabit to say, "This isn't sitting well with me." They are, by definition, in learning environments where they are meant to probe the biggest moral issues of our time through the lens of history or policy or science or art. We are the adults, not them. And unfortunately, as campuses around the country continue to explode, as over 2,000 campus demonstrators have been arrested, some incredibly violently, we are proving again and again that we are not up to the task. Students protesting war is the most natural thing in the whole world, and we shouldn't be surprised that they don't use the most precise language with the politest actions to communicate what is essentially a primal scream.
Just a slight correction on that.
What?
The amount of students arrested is incorrect in that. As of now, it's over. It's 2,400.
Oh, okay.
Jesus.
Well, I guess she...
It was yesterday.
Yeah.
Are those all students, or is that... Because there's a lot of folks that are on campus that are being arrested that are actually...
Yeah, yeah,
aren't.
I think professors,
those
too.
Those are on-campus arrests.
Which might be outsiders.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean...
Absolutely.
Because, like, professors. One case, it was 100 arrested and 4 were students.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. Look, I have seen video out of New York. And, again, it was something I saw on the internet, so I can't 100%, you know, I'm like, I don't want to say like this definitely happened because
if you see your own face in the photograph, right, it's not real.
I'll be
right?
like, holy crap, I don't remember doing that at all. Wow, the internet's amazing. Thanks for reminding me. Right, but at the same time, I did see a small group of people chanting in the streets. What I believe was New York, and I think it was near Columbia University. This would have been last week, but they were basically chanting about support for Hamas and its resistance against Israeli oppression. And I'm like, okay,
Oh, Hamas is freedom fighter.
Right, exactly. And I'm like, I'm not with them. I understand people saying like, hey, these demonstrators are supporting Hamas and it's terrorist actions. And I think the chant specifically did mention like October 7th and said, yeah, but it was okay. And I don't remember exactly what it said anymore, but I was just like, wow, that's not a position I'm willing to go along with there, you know? It was certainly a reminder that like there are people who are there protesting just because they want the bombing to stop, and others who are protesting because they actually, you know, directly oppose Israel and want more than just like an end to the violence. They want to fight Israel, which is not actually my position, for example.
So during apartheid,
yeah.
Did you think it was bad when the party that Mandela was a member of,
the African National Congress, the ANC,
turned to violence? Because they did at one point.
They
finally
did actually commit acts of terrorism,
and
yes.
They started arming because they were just like, "This mm-hmm. isn't working."
Which
is when he got jailed.
Yes, and he was jailed when I was a small child, so I don't really remember, you know, that at the time. The first I really heard about what was happening in South Africa was with the big divestment protests that happened in the mid-80s when I was in high school. Yeah. What I remember thinking at the time, and I don't have a huge reason to feel like I should change my thinking now, but what I remember thinking at the time was, well, when the cops won't let you go where you want and live a free life, when they're treating you like a prisoner even when you're supposedly free, when they're keeping you from voting and owning property and forcing you to live in slums and treating you, you know, and sometimes violently attacking you for no reason, they're fighting you, so at some point you got to figure, you know, it makes sense that you'd fight back.
Do you think the Israelis have done the same thing to the Palestinians?
And that, you mean, are the Israelis in the position of the ANC or of the apartheid regime?
The South African regime.
I think that's an
can't
apt
go where
parallel,
they want to.
Yes. Well, look, I've mentioned many times on the show John Brown, and I think... And I think John Brown was a bit of an inspiration to people like Mandela and the ANC. So, like, yeah, you know, like at some point, it's like we've tried peacefully protesting and saying you should stop doing this bad stuff and it hasn't worked. So maybe using violence is the approach we'll take. I get that. And sadly, you know, like was John Brown's actions, were his actions truly necessary for the United States to end slavery? Well, no. Because if we just said, oh, crap, slavery is wrong. Those Quakers have been telling this for 100 years, and they're right. We should stop. If we'd done that, then no. John Brown wouldn't have needed to raid Harper's Ferry. You know, there wouldn't have needed to fight the Civil War. None of that would have been necessary if we just, you know, frickin' stopped, you know, enslaving people. But we didn't. And so... You know, the war that got us to stop, so...
Well, and Martin Luther King, I mean, that was sort of his position, was yeah. that it's never going to... If you respond with violence, it's going to escalate. There's just... It doesn't sure. end it. There's... It's very hard to end.
It is. Look, sometimes we resolve differences between ideologies and large groups of humans, you know, nations or whatever, with violence. And that sucks. But it's what we do. And sadly, that is arguably part of politics. It's just not a part of politics that I think is civil. And I think, you know, I think the civil political way is far better. you know, much lower body count, much less property damage, you know, much less interruption of trade and business and commerce and art and getting on with your damn life.
I think there's an important point where,
please,
in, I don't really, honestly, it's like quoting or bringing up Martin Luther King kind of is kind of playing up for me, but in the civil rights era, like the 60s, 50s, things like that, when there were protests, there was violence, sure, against the protesters, but it was much more it was used much more freely, and yeah, the people that were doing it and the people that were ordering it were way just okay with it. So today you have violence done to protesters, but it's reserved, and the people that are doing it hem and haw about why they're doing it.
Mm.
And I think that is a major difference, and why when we see violence done to students, I mean, even in the 70s, like the with
Kent State,
yeah, like that was, they were totally fine, like, using violence against the students, you know.
Not exactly.
It more so than today.
No, a lot of those National Guard were kids. They were actually really scared.
I'm not talking about the National Guard.
They're the ones
on the
who shot. They shot,
yeah, the National Guardsmen. Yeah. The big lesson at Kent State was don't give the Guardsmen live ammo.
I do have a friend that was there and that was stabbed, actually.
Oh, cool.
She was coming back to campus.
At Kent State or at the later thing? Because there's a later incident where a number of protesters were stabbed.
At Kent State, and she was coming back to campus, and her family never believed her.
Hmm.
Because at that time, which you guys happened to not really be alive then, a lot of what was happening was that the older folks,
I think I was eight days old or something.
Doesn't matter.
The parents and stuff. In fact, there's a real famous movie that was sort of a cult movie where the parents actually didn't like what the kids were doing, and that they were basically saying, you know, you need to serve, you need to not be not skip, all that stuff. But they, the movie was about a man who got upset about the hippies and what they were doing, and he ends up shooting his own son. And it's sort of one of those movies of the time, because there was a real generational difference about how people felt about what's going on in Vietnam.
Yeah,
well, of course.
Because other folks had been through World War II, so you just did what your country asked you to do.
Yeah.
And we had a friend that was trained as a, he enlisted and trained as a fighter pilot, and then skip to Canada. And even the people that didn't mind what some of the students were doing minded that, because he'd gotten this training, he'd signed up to go, and then he skipped to Canada, and he later got
pardoned by Carter.
Yeah. But somebody this morning, I don't want to lose this thought for a second, but I heard Claire Higgins, who's the head of Community Action now.
She used to be our former mayor.
Yeah. She did a really good analysis, and she said, do you remember, you know, the protests and the Democratic thing in Chicago in 68? And I can't think of the fellow's name who ran from the South, and he was a total bigot and racist. And I can't think of his name. I'll think of it later.
Oh, yeah. I'm suddenly drawing a blank. I can picture his face.
Yeah. And we...
Wallace,
yes. Mm-hmm. George Wallace. But we were really polarized from the 60s. And then there was Vietnam and all this. And she compared it to what we're doing now with the same kind of polarization, starting with, you know, Black Lives Matter and all that building to a crescendo. And then Wallace ran, and we ended up with Nixon because he was a law and order guy.
Hmm.
And that what people were seeing on TVs were all these protests, and of course the shooting at Kent State. And it was sort of chilling to hear her go through it and really talk about it that way, because the parallels, for those of us that are old enough to remember, they're sort of striking. And I'm hoping that, you know how you always say history doesn't something, it rhymes.
Doesn't repeat, it rhymes. Yeah,
yeah. And she was basically saying that this time is rhyming with that. And what happens if we get to November and, you know, there's fartsy old Biden who isn't doing very much and not really taking
President
the reins.
Biden is absolutely, you know, supporting the crackdowns on protesters at the universities.
Well, but he also, there's a freedom of speech. I mean, that's, he
Wait, I thought Republicans liked freedom of speech, and they were upset with how there wasn't enough freedom of speech on campus.
Yeah, well, I'm actually speaking about Biden at the moment. So that kind of parallel where you have this sort of person riding the middle straddle, and then you come in with a hard law and order person, and people vote for it sort of in the absence. And I just thought it was chilling. Hear them go through. HMP this morning.
Well, but I think people who are interested in sort of a law and order, you know, establishment candidate, I think they'll be just fine with Joe Biden. I mean, after all, who are they going to vote for? A guy who's, you know, a convicted felon in New York?
Yeah. Well, I think it's when people are afraid and want to crack down. You know, that's really what they were speaking to, was that there are people that look around and they see the riots here or the protests there. Depending on which color you are, that's what they call it, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that kind of turmoil and what's going on at campuses, it's an interesting thing that's sort of what happened. We were very polarized. It got worse. We didn't have leaders that dealt with it. And then we ended up with somebody who made it
worse.
Well,
sure, but Nixon was already... a figure in, you know, he was already the president when the protest happened at Kent State, when all those things happened in the 70s or whatever. Mm-hmm. He was already president. You know?
Well, he came in right at the beginning of it all sort of falling apart. That the argument was that he was the vote for the law and order that sort of.
Well, after the televised chaos of the riots in Chicago and the. Mayor Daley sending in the Chicago Police Department in 68, sure.
And that's Mayor Claire Higgins went back to, you know, she went back to the stuff that was right before it with the 60s. And, I mean, she made a nice arc anyway. It was very interesting this morning.
I think it's certainly a way that it could go. And I think it's certainly a thing that the Republicans might actually try and capitalize on. Yeah.
Yeah, nobody wants to pay any attention to Christine Holm and shooting her puppy. Although dogs are full grown at 6 months, so.
If she's, you know, her political career just has to be done. Surely even Republicans don't like people who kill puppies. Yeah.
You think.
I think. John, do you have something you want to add?
A while ago. No, I was wondering if you guys wanted to hear Joe Biden's speech.
Oh, what he actually said about the protests?
I don't think we want to hear the whole thing, but if you've got like a snippet you want to play or whatever, yeah, go ahead.
Just let me know when to stop.
Good morning. Before I head to North Carolina, I wanted to speak a few moments about what's going on our college campuses here. We've all seen the images, and they put to the test two fundamental American principles. Excuse me. The first is the right to free speech and for people to peacefully assemble and make their voices heard. The second is the rule of law. Both must be upheld. We are not an authoritarian nation where we silence people or squash dissent. The American people are heard. In fact, peaceful protest is in the best tradition of how Americans respond to consequential issues. But, neither are we a lawless country. We are a civil society, and order must prevail. Throughout our history, we've often faced moments like this because we are a big, diverse, free-thinking, and freedom-loving nation. In moments like this, there are always those who rush in to score political points. But this isn't a moment for politics. It's a moment for clarity. So let me be clear. Peaceful protest in America. Violent protest is not protected. Peaceful protest is. It's against the law when violence occurs. Destroying property is not a peaceful protest. It's against the law. Vandalism, trespassing, breaking windows, shutting down campuses, forcing the cancellation of classes and graduations. None of this is a peaceful protest. Threatening people, intimidating people, instilling fear in people is not a peaceful protest. It's against the law. Dissent is essential to democracy, but dissent must never lead to disorder or to denying the rights of others so students can finish the semester and their college education. Look, it's basically a matter of fairness.
I gotta say, I wonder how I mean, I'm just thinking of, I can just hear John Lewis's voice in my head talking about how it's important to start good trouble.
And not bad trouble.
Well, and good trouble is disruptive. Good trouble is sitting down at a lunch counter and refusing to move and it causing a scene. Good trouble. I'm sorry?
Blocking a highway.
Blocking a highway. Good trouble is, you know, sitting down on the floor of the House of Representatives and refusing to allow business to proceed. So, I mean, yeah. I guess...
Well, if you're listen here, Jack.
Like, I understand.
Listen here, Jack. We don't like people sitting on lawns and being disruptive. Protest. Yeah. No, not like that.
I mean, sitting on the lawn has got to be like the best. Like the, you know, like I'm not blocking traffic. I am not stopping people from going about their day. I am sitting on a lawn and holding up a sign saying, you know, and saying, you know, stop bombing Gaza. That's it.
What about Packy? She got arrested for putting her hand through a PVC tube and chaining herself to through a boat up at the
right.
Is it 3M?
That's trespassing.
Well,
they were at the edge of the property. Actually, they were in the. They blocked the driveway, but from the outside, they were on public property.
I mean,
I understand.
That is disruptive protesting. That is, and then the point is, this is an arms manufacturer, and we shouldn't be making weapons. Like that is good trouble. You can one can disagree with her politics, and certainly,
and
she was arrested, was she not? Yeah, all right.
You know
yeah.
what? I don't care about good or bad trouble at this point.
Okay,
good trouble, bad trouble. I'm. No offense, but
to John Lewis.
No, I'm honestly like kind of tired about quoting civil rights leaders, quoting people and saying this is what they do. This is who cares about that right now?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, what would Martin Luther King do? I don't. What are we going to do?
That is a good question. That is the real question.
What are Martin Luther King did protesting, Malcolm X did protesting in their day. That is not how you can protest today. It's impossible. Because, like I said, back then, cops were way more willing to use violence than today. So,
I have a friend who went into the hospital for protesting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But
of course, he had a gas mask and radios. But
well, that's good. But yeah, he wasn't recorded on a phone.
No, he was beaten into oblivion.
Yeah, and unless
and
someone
ended up in the hospital.
One of the reasons why King's protests were effective was the news cameras there.
Yes, I know.
Were unusual then, and now it's common.
What I'm that was what I was gonna.
Oh, I see.
Get to.
I thought that was not your point.
No, my point is that it's impossible to protest in the same way mm-hmm. because we have technology. Mm. Because, like I was saying to Sue, her friend wasn't recorded on a phone.
Right.
So that protest wouldn't have the same effect as like one guy getting killed on the street mm. because people filmed it on their phone. One guy getting beat up, and that sparking up for protest because someone randomly had a camcorder in 92
mm.
or 92
Rodney King was 90 I think
90
91 anyway
riots
were in 92
yeah. So it's like when we're thinking about how people protest, why people protest, the specifically how we can't look at civil rights protests from the 60s because we have cell phones now. We have Facebook, we have Instagram, we have Twitter, we have TikTok. There are people with millions of people watching them who just put out videos saying free Palestine, do this, do that, and they have an effect.
Hmm.
That is a huge way of protesting without having to get your butt kicked.
Hmm.
Excuse my language, on the street. However, anybody that says, like, you shouldn't be disruptive, you shouldn't, like, trespass and stuff, if you're sitting at a counter and they want you to leave, you are trespassing.
Mm-hmm.
You can be arrested.
You can be arrested.
They were. Yep.
He's saying, he's literally an old man saying, get off my lawn.
That's
literally what it is. He's an old man. He's an ancient man saying, get off my lawn. And then all the kids that are like, but you're being a jerk, will get off my lawn. Well, now we're not going to vote for you. That's, he's killing his campaign again. But anyway, like, thinking about how people protest, why people protest, the in what form it takes, it is vastly different than any other time in history. Any other time in history, because of the way that the world is connected and the way that people, like, people can see all of the all video, but because of what's been going on for the last 20 years, the increasing amount of violence, the increasing amount of the people not having skin in the game with wars, like in World War II, like, nobody's donating anything, nobody's, like, giving up steel or whatever happened in World War II. I don't know, because I wasn't there. But for the last 20 years, there has been this slow boil of increasing amount of violence, but violence that is then suppressed, like, poo-poo, like, we didn't mean it, but we do. Like, it's just so frustrating. People saying, like, oh, the cops have to do this because they're protecting people, instead of the cops have to do this because they're rousting people. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not sure I do, but why don't we take a moment and think about this, play some PSAs, promos, and station IDs, and we can come back and keep hashing it out here on Civil Politics on Valley Free Radio. Please don't go away. We'll be right back.
Want to make a difference in a big way? Nearly 200 children in Hampshire County are on a waiting list to be matched with adult mentors called BIGs. Children who are matched with mentors through Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Hampshire County do better in school, report higher self-confidence, and have better relationships with peers. Start something. Call 413-259-3345 and volunteer or donate to Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Hampshire County.
Hi, I'm Jack Frisch. Join me on Tuesdays from 2 to 4 p.m. for The Downbeat. The show features classic, modern, and avant-garde jazz, interviews, new releases, and who's performing in the area this week. As an art director and designer in jazz for over 24 years, I've worked with the greatest artists of our time, who will be guests on the show. So tune in on Tuesdays for The Downbeat, your source for jazz in the Pioneer Valley.
The Amherst Boys and Girls Club, your place to laugh, learn, and grow. If you are between grades 1 through 12 and want a place to meet up, relax, play games, and even get some extra help with school, check out the Amherst Boys and Girls Club. The most important thing you'll do is learn about yourself and the kind of person you're capable of being. The Amherst Boys and Girls Club, your place, your future. AmherstBGC.org.
The Amherst Boys and Girls Club is not affiliated with the National Boys and Girls Club of America. It's an independent entity that exists because of the support of the community near and far.
Domestic violence can take many forms.
Violencia doméstica puede ocurrir en muchas diferentes maneras.
Physical abuse.
It can be words. Puede ser abuso físico. Puede ser con palabras.
It can even be someone controlling your access to money.
Hasta puede ser alguien controlando su acceso financiero.
Safe Passage can help.
Safe Passage le puede ayudar. Llame nuestra línea confidencial 888-345-5282.
Call our 24-hour confidential hotline 888-345-5282.
The Food Bank of Western Massachusetts provides healthy food to families and individuals facing hunger in our region. And right now, with food insecurity the highest it's been in recent years, the Food Bank is distributing more emergency food than ever. Learn more about the Food Bank or get support for yourself and your family. Go to foodbankwma.org or call 413-247-9738. The Food Bank of Western Mass, committed to making sure our neighbors have enough to eat and leading the community to end hunger.
Hi, I'm Mark Sherry.
And I'm Ace Housethor, and we're some of the hosts for the New Music Alliance Radio Hour, which goes up every Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m.
We're going to focus on presenting some of the best original music to come from the Western New England area, both past and present.
And as always,
keep on rocking.
Dear Massachusetts, marijuana is now legal for adult use. Keep your kids and pets safe by keeping all cannabis products in child-resistant packaging. store your cannabis in a lockbox out of sight and out of reach from your children, and teach them that cannabis and alcohol are for adults only, and that prescription medications are only meant for the person they are prescribed for. Brought to you by the Northampton Prevention Coalition, working together to protect the developing brain. NorthamptonPrevents.org.
What did they just say? If you often find yourself asking that, you may benefit from the new audio-enhancing technology available at the Forbes Library in Northampton. Designed to work with or without a hearing aid, the new and improved audio-visual systems in our meeting rooms, along with countertop loop systems at our service desks, are some of the new technology the library now has. With federal funds provided by the Institute of Museum and Library Services and administered by the Massachusetts Board of Library Commissioners. You'll now find hearing the librarian and guest lecturers a whole lot easier. Call 413-587-1017 or email info@forbeslibrary.org to find out more.
The Forbes Library staff would like to remind you of the incredible resource that you have in your local public library. We have tens of thousands of books for you to check out, music CDs, movies, newspapers from around the region, the state, and the country. We have a wide variety of magazines and free computer and internet access every day. We also have our incredible reference services there to help you answer particularly vexing problems. All of this is free, locally available at 20 West Street in Northampton, so come by and check us out in person or at www.forbeslibrary.org or call 587-1011 for more information.
And we're back with Civil Politics here on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP 103.3 FM out of Northampton, Massachusetts. I'm still Michael Dow. I'm still doing the show with Genre and Sue. And
let me explain better.
I thought you were doing a good job, but I was like watching the clock. That's why I was like, let's take a moment.
And I thought it was brilliant, so.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I said it, so of course, but still. I'm saying
I just want to say that looking back at the legacy and the tactics of people like Dr. King or John Lewis or whatever or Malcolm X is can indeed be a distraction, but it's also like in part it's like, well, how did people who had some success in the past do it? And part of it, I think, I just want to mention this, is like you look at Dr. King, who looked back at Gandhi, and like, why was the nonviolence so successful? Because the violent people listened to them. One of the reasons why Gandhi was able to be so successful against the British Empire, which invented concentration camps, for God's sakes. I mean, they were happy with genocide. They'd done them. But it's because it's like, oh, when Gandhi says, everybody stop the fighting, the Indian revolutionaries listen. So we should talk to him, because the alternative is the violent revolution will proceed. They'll only stop when he speaks, so long as we're actually listening to him. So anyway, that kind of thinking. And we're hopefully not in that position now.
When we talk about protesting, we can, and how we, and how movements work.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Looking back at different civil rights leaders is a good thing. How to form a movement, what are the beginnings of that, how they were done, and studied them.
Mm-hmm.
like how a general today would study the wars of the past.
Sure.
But they're not gonna, someone else isn't gonna be like, oh well, this is how Patton did it, so you should do that. And he's like, no, I have drones now.
Yeah.
You know, like, I have drones.
Napoleon would never line up his cannons like that.
Yeah.
I have drones. Who
I
cares?
Have drones. I have a laser from space. I don't know.
Right.
Guys might be Jewish or something.
John Radomas, so great, John Radomas.
Yes.
How did you handle the two fellows with the opposing opinions when you were out on the roundabout? And they started and you cut the tape because you were, you came back to...
Yes, they were just going back and forth.
But how did you get them to stop? Because you were just out there with a recorder. You weren't, didn't have a militia with you or anything, and they came right over, right?
You didn't even have a squirt bottle.
No. No, I did not have a bad cat. No. Well, there was the guy supporting Israel, and the guy that was waiting for the standout to start, and he came up like, "Hey, what's going on?" And we started, "Oh, we're talking about the thing." And he's like, "So that's a genocide, right?" They just started going at it
immediately,
and
right?
And you heard like what the guy said after, when he was like talking about what that guy said. It's not because war and people die in war. That was his point. So when they were going head to head, they were just the temperature was kept going up, and the way that I tried to diffuse it was saying, "Look, dude, we were talking, but I'm going to talk to you." And I tried to get in between them, because if there are two people that are in a shouting altercation, you don't think there's going to be violence. Physically getting in between two people is good, because it can create a barrier that they have to talk to you, especially if you vocally get in between with them too. So if two people are fighting, then you kind of shuffle kind of in between them and say, "Hey," and you start looking at them, and then you look at the other person. So then it becomes a back and forth through someone instead of butting heads on top of each other.
That's interesting. Our Congress does that. You have to go through who's ever chairing the meeting.
Uh-huh.
Direct your comments to them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That,
interesting.
That calms things
down. The British Parliament. Yeah.
Yeah. That calms things down, and because so there isn't this, because when people fight, when two people are really heated and emotions take over, it's a feedback loop. You just keep doing it, so you become a transistor. If that is a situation, that's how I usually
handle
it.
Should another country get between Israel and Palestine? Would that help? Depending.
I mean, that is writ large. Like, I'm talking interpersonal. When we're talking, like, international,
I'm taking border patrol. You know, border with the Israeli standing next to a Palestinian guy.
If we're going to relate the same thing, the more important thing is that the person in between that is trying to calm down the situation is acting neutral, like a transistor. You
like
need
a real
to be,
neutral, can't be selling weapons to
exactly.
Israel.
You can't be The thing is, one, you have to be neutral or a calming presence. Two, you have to respect both sides, at least, like, not stand with one person completely. It's very, I mean, like, in terms of the United States, let's say, if two people are like, if two of the people are friends, and then there's one person and they keep getting the feedback loop, that means you stand in between and you listen to the side that you're not friends with anyway. So in terms of Israel, Palestine, things like that, one, they're not equal. So no. it's not a two groups fighting. It's one group. It's like, if it's two people, it's a smaller dude who punched the bigger dude in the nuts, and then the bigger dude is just pummeling the smaller dude, and you're friends with the bigger dude. So what you do is you grab the guy, pull him off, and then say, "You need to calm down. Stop, please." The other guy's on the floor. And you say, "Hey, we need to stop. He needs a doctor." And then we'll keep going.
And in international politics, it looks like Israel is a recognized nation state, member of the UN, with a vibrant economy and a robust military with lots of ammunition. And
yeah.
The Palestinians, especially just the folks in Gaza, are not.
Yeah,
they are just folks living under occupation.
If you're friends with someone that worked out every day, and they're like 30, and they're like pretty healthy, right? Then there's this 17-year-old that's like, stop stealing my stuff, and the bigger guy's like, no,
make me
shut up. And then the teenager punches the guy in the solar plexus, and then the other guy starts beating the hell. The teenager should not have done that. That was a dumb idea. Especially if he,
but if they were desperate,
like, shot him in the basket, you know. But then if you are trying to help there, first you pull the bigger guy off the teenager and say, what are you doing? Like, that's enough. And then and if there's still temperatures high, then you say, like, what is happening here? How can we resolve this? And if the older dude is saying, I am not going to stop until that guy is done, you say, okay, we're not going to do that. And then you use whatever you can to defuse that. The United States can stop giving Israel weapons. That's something that we can do. And say, hey, if you need more weapons, then you need to stop. They have weapons.
They do.
They have a ton of weapons.
If we stop giving them weapons, that doesn't mean they have to stop fighting, but that means eventually they'll have to stop fighting.
Well, it means they have to stop exporting weapons. They sell a lot of weapons to India, actually.
Yeah, so that would mess up everything. So what we need to do as a country, we can be disruptive. And we have the power to do that. We're like one of the last superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we use that? You know? Like, that's... But the problem with that is we as a country are constrained by the representatives that we have and how they get their funding.
The interest groups,
things like that. And that, going back to the protests, that is the problem. People are yelling and screaming about, because we have people that are supposed to listen to us, and they don't. And they're not even trying to.
And I think it doesn't sound like President Biden is doing a good job of listening.
No.
With that brief address that we played a good chunk of. Just because, like, yeah, you are saying, you know, sitting on the lawn and just protesting. He actually did specifically say, you know, sitting on the lawn, that is not peaceful protesting. That's true. And it's like, but...
Yeah, if you're if you're sitting in the place where people are supposed to graduate... Oh no, you know, that's being disruptive. Like, and if they say move, you're trespassing, then you're breaking the law. But that's not violent.
Well, it sounds like what he's arguing for there in his address. It sounds like the president is basically saying, protest is fine so long as it's easy for us to ignore.
Yeah. Don't kneel.
Yeah.
Don't march. Don't, like, just sit there. Don't. What are you supposed to do? Don't make videos and stuff.
Go protest in your room where we can't watch.
Exactly.
It.
I was on the break. We were talking about people that were making videos on certain sites, and those videos are getting suppressed,
even on TikTok.
TikTok, yeah, and TikTok and I'm sure there's some algorithm stuff going on and on Twitter and things like that. Some things are labeled as hateful, so they get demonetized or stricken from whatever platform. And that is just making a video saying, like, this is wrong. But no, then I've seen creators, like, say, okay, here's my videos, like, they're showing their metrics. Here's my videos here. Then I make this video about Palestine here, and I had 500,000 views, 700,000, 2,000.
Yeah.
Because it's taken out of the bottlenecked.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's suppressed. And that happens a lot.
No.
So even though we're in a more transparent time, which is what you sort of argued earlier, that there's cameras everywhere.
Yeah, we are in a more transparent
time. There's also a lot of
time.
Algorithms, yeah, sure, and black, mm-hmm, boxes that are skewing in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'd... yeah, we're in a more transparent time in terms of information being able to be transmitted. The problem is the forms, the ways that we can transmit information are controlled by private interests, and they can be changed by government officials, like in certain ways.
Well, our society's always had gatekeepers to the mass media spread of, yeah, information, you know, but it's less obviously, it's not ABC, NBC, CBS, and maybe PBS back it was, you, yeah, know, in the 70s. It's like, well, it's Facebook, but I mean, it, like,
and how
exactly
are they deciding?
How is Facebook doing this, yeah, and why, and is it Facebook?
Facebook?
I mean, to what extent is NBC not doing this, and, you know, yeah.
Facebook has a policy now that they are not going to promote political speech.
I wonder what they mean by promote.
They
wonder,
like,
what they mean by political.
When they, when, like, if you're making political videos, posts, things like that, when you're on your main page and you just get like random posts from your friends or like from different creators, things like that, then those posts won't show up as much.
Yeah.
Stuff about politics, stuff about the election,
wow,
things like that.
That's interesting.
Yeah, because they're freaked out because like when they, you know, sold the election. Yeah. But that is the issue of protesting today. You have the George Floyd protests, and those were all on video, and you could see a lot, and a lot of stuff was going on YouTube.
But there's a lot of stuff that was also being tamped down.
Exactly. There was a lot of stuff that was, yeah, being demonetized, which means if something's demonetized, that means it could affect people's metrics, which it could affect their jobs.
And also how they can later reach people and build their audience. And,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's...
Interesting.
Yeah, the ways that we can communicate, the ways that we can... are varied. There's... And especially just in messaging programs, WhatsApp... Or messaging on Twitter, or like more secure things like me and my friends use Signal, but all of those can be used against the people that are using it.
WhatsApp is only as trustworthy as Meta.
Exactly.
Like I don't know if we mentioned it on the show, but I shared a story with you guys a week or two ago about how it seems that the AI targeting algorithm the Israelis are using might be, you know, to pick targets in Gaza, might be using, you know, data from like, oh, who's in a WhatsApp chat with who? And it's like, oh, we think this person's bad,
yeah,
so we'll get the other people,
oh,
too,
right,
you know?
You did tell us about
and,
that, yeah.
And, you know, and I mean, I don't know that that's true, but if it is, how does the IDF get that information? Have they cracked Meta's encryption, or is Meta just sharing the info with them? Either
Meta's
way...
Meta's probably just sharing the info with them.
Could well be. You know? It's certainly not encouraging either way.
No.
But sharing the info would actually be worse.
Yeah, so... Just in this day and age, like I was saying before, protesting is vastly different, and we can study the past, but we can't look to it as a blueprint anymore, and we shouldn't. We need to look at the tools that we have right now, and that means one of the main thing that means is not just hoping that there's news crews there, because there won't be. Because news in the 60s weren't decided on by eyes and ad revenue as much as today.
Well, and journalists, so many journalists have been fired just recently.
Exactly. And so so you need to create a way for people you have to create a reason for people to watch. Or you need to film it yourself and put it on a site where people can see it, which might also be suppressed. So how are you going to work within that system, a system that you can't control, to make sure that your message gets out? And that is going to be far different than what you had to do in the 60s, in the 70s, and even the 80s. or the 90s, you know? Like, yeah.
We've evolved. Our leaders have to evolve, too. So I guess we need some younger leaders.
We do, like we had back when we were, when the Founding Fathers were founding the country.
Oh, yeah, those guys.
Well, you know, George Washington was 40 when he took over command of the Continental Army.
How many
Thomas Jefferson was...
He had a lot of people's teeth in his mouth, too.
Oh, for sure. He was, I'm not saying totally good guy at all. I'm just saying, like, we think of them as old people, and it's like, they were when they died.
Yeah.
But, you know, when they were doing the whole revolutionary thing, you know, Jefferson, I think, was still in his 20s when he wrote the Declaration.
Yeah, so one more thing. I know the music is playing. People are all mad about, like, protesting and everything. The country was founded on Mess Around and Find Out. That is what the country was made on.
Give
the
me
whole point.
Give me liberty or give me, you know, more views on TikTok. Right? That's it? No.
Jesus, Mike. No.
Well, I do have one quick sort of thing I've been wanting to share for say for a while. Just very quickly, because all this talk about protesting and argument and taking sides, I think is certainly, you know, I think it's been a good talk. But the thing I would just reflect on is that we can be, you know, pro, like there is a fight between, you know, Israelis and Palestinians, you know, like that is very broadly what's happening in Gaza, you know, for example, but also, you know, Russians and Ukrainians or whatever. You know, when you've got two groups of people fighting, there's a certain amount of just like, well, we're fighting, so we're going to do what we do, and they're going to do what they do, and that's just how it is. But we don't have to be part of this fight. And I don't want to be part of this fight. I don't want to be pro-Israel or pro-Hamas or Palestine or however you want to put it. I want to be pro, hey, let's stop killing people. Let's actually try and make peace with each other. And that not wanting to be drawn into the conflict, as the stakes get higher, it's increasingly hard to have that kind of detached voice, and it's increasingly necessary. So I hope we can keep doing that on this show, because I think it's one of the things we have to offer.
I'm okay with people chanting Beetlejuice at Lauren Warburton, though.
Well, yeah. You know, or Mitt Romney saying, hey, I didn't shoot my dog, so... which is a good burn for Mitt Romney. Anyway, we're going to wrap it up here. Thanks for listening to Civil Politics Tonight here on Valley Free Radio. We've got Kicking It Worldwide coming up in just a minute here, followed by Subculture, then Table of Contents, then OK Asia, then Drum and Bass with DJ Fife, and I can't even remember, but there's more. More! And it's all good, so you should listen to that. Also, listen to us as a podcast going out on all the streaming services that we have, you know, starting tomorrow. And we've got a repeat broadcast Monday afternoon at 4. Listen to that. And that's all for now. Thanks for listening. Good night. Civil Politics is a member of the Planetside Podcast Network. To learn more, go to planetsidepodcasts.com.